there are significant concerns about the security arrangements. The security arrangements right now are ambiguous and not very clear. And this will deter or will not create confidence for the rebel groups to come to the capital. That's one aspect that needs to be addressed. The other critical issue regarding this agreement is when you look at the area of cantonment of troops, it doesn't explicitly spell out where cantonment places are going to be. And that is a problem. And if you look at the recent surge in fighting around Ye and other places, it is an indication that everyone is trying to gain some foothold so that they can have their troops for cantonment. And that is why there is fighting going on. Now, if this issue is not addressed properly, I think that it holds the potential to unravel the deal. So those are the three main issues that I have with that agreement.
Yes. Before we go to the issue of the implementation, you are talking about the security arrangement is so ambiguous. Could you elaborate more about it in the context of what you describe as making the opposition forces not be in position to come to Juba, the capital of South Sudan?
Well, right now it says it's a mix of some rebel troops providing security combined with the regional protection force or the UN or UNMISS. And I think that's ambiguous. That's not very clear at this moment. If the regional protection force, for instance, is going to be involved, it will require a redrafting of its mandate at the Security Council. And so, in fact, that may also actually contribute to a delay in implementing the agreement if it's going to happen like that. So that's one area there. And, of course, cantonment, I can tell you that there is no there's no word on location where this cantonment is going to be, where it's going to take. So that's going to be, if you don't know where you're going to be, then obviously you're going to try to find a place where you can strategically place yourself. And the spokesman of the SPLM, himself has said that the rebel attacks in Ye, in and around Ye, around the Kupera area, are mainly because they want a foothold for the cantonment of troops. Now, that should be addressed in the agreement, and the agreement hasn't addressed that very clearly, and that's why you have that problem.
Signing the agreement is one thing. Implementing it is another big challenge. Given what happened in 2015 when the agreement was signed, and we saw what happened here in 2016 in Juba, the famous J1 classes. What can be done this time around to make sure that at least this agreement is implemented in spirit and letter?
Well, first of all, the South Sudanese protagonists in this conflict, the SPLM in government, the SPLM IO, and all the other rebel groups, have to have the political will to implement the agreement. Nothing short of that will make the agreement work. They have to have in their hearts that they want an agreement. They want it so bad, more than anybody else. So that is number one. Number two, I think that the region itself, the IGAD region, the neighboring countries, must take steps to hold any spoilers of the peace agreement accountable for their actions, including the government of South Sudan. If the government violates the agreement, it must be held accountable. If the rebels violate the agreement, they must be held accountable. In the past, we did not see that. And we've seen that the failure to hold people accountable has led us to what we are, to the position that we are in right now in South Sudan.
And your organization have also been so critical of this agreement, just what you are saying about accountability. It says this agreement is not actually holding those people accountable, those who actually violated the agreement in 2016, those who have not been accountable for the funds that were used to somehow implement the 2015 agreement. So what is the scenario here?
Well, as I elaborated earlier, it does not have sufficient checks and balances on how government money is going to be spent. It has all these weaknesses on security arrangements. And then it also has these weaknesses on cantonment of troops. And so all these contribute to making this agreement, to making us have the doubts about this agreement. But again, an agreement will never be perfect. The political will of the protagonists in this conflict will determine whether this agreement survives or does not. And we have seen that in the past, the people that are at the helm of power in South Sudan, among the government, in the government and within the rebels, were not interested in this deal, and that's why we saw it collapse. Can they change their calculations this time around? Maybe. But again, the international community must really take lessons from what happened in the past, that there was lack of political will to implement the agreement. And the international community, therefore, must take measures to hold people accountable, whether that is through targeted sanctions at the spoilers, whether that is through anti-money laundering measures, whether that is through an arms embargo. Those pressures must be maintained to make sure that people actually live to the ideals of the agreement and work on improving the weaknesses in the agreement and also have political will to implement it.
Do you foresee the donors putting more money in implementing this agreement this time around?
Well, you may have heard the UN Special Envoy for Sudan and South Sudan yesterday. He made a speech at the UN Security Council in New York. And very clearly, he said that in talking to donors, there is absolutely no appetite to support this agreement unless there is transparency in financial transactions. And given the past history of financial impropriety, donors are really very reluctant at this particular point. But therein lies a blessing, perhaps. And that blessing is that now local ownership of the agreement is badly needed by the parties in the conflict. They must own it because there's no one who's going to support it financially. They must now exert the resources. I hear that oil production is going up. Well, if that is the case, then we should have no problem in supporting cantonment locally without any external support. And perhaps that's a blessing in disguise. But it all depends on the people in power in South Sudan, within the government and within the rebel groups.